told you I do this shit for Vegas. About to shut the world down. World domination. World ain't ready for.
What's going on, people? We are back at it again with the High Budtenders Podcast. It is me, Jarrell, and you know I got my road dog with me, my partner in crime, Rocky. What's the deal?
What's going on, Jarrell?
Man, you know, summer's over.
Dude, spooky times right now.
Yes.
We are in the Halloween season. You know what that's like in Vegas.
Always fun.
Crack-a-lackin', always popping.
Yes.
If you're here, there's plenty of things to do. If you guys are coming out to Vegas, you can go to Fremont. You can check out a bunch of shit that's happening for Halloween.
Check out the smoking lounges.
Yes. I'm sure there's going to be some Halloween 5K that's going to be running through here somewhere doing something really fun like that. But it's going to be very, very interesting. It's interesting in the cannabis industry, too.
As always.
Yes. So businesses are feeling it. I know that they are. Yeah. I can comfortably say that we are feeling the heat.
Heading into quarter four.
Dude.
You know how that is.
It's a little crazy. But what's great about this podcast today is that we're going to have a few people on. They're going to help us to understand a little bit about what's going on in the cannabis climate today. Yes. So I just want to say that I'm very, very, very happy and excited to welcome our guest. Joining us today is the president, Dina Valina, and executive director, Abby Kaufman of the Chamber of Cannabis.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
Yay, newly appointed just not too long ago, a few months back. I'm super excited for them. So we're super excited to have you both
big
on the
deal.
Show.
It's a big deal.
Yes. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes,
we're so glad. Bigger deal to be on here.
Yes, I actually am excited because I know you folks very, very well. So I'm super excited, and there's a lot of things that and a lot of developments that are happening in the chamber. So we want to get people a little bit more privy to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you don't mind, like, give the people a little bit of background on yourself, how you got started in the cannabis industry and how you ended up with the Chamber of Cannabis.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Dina, you want to go first or me?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's get it.
Yeah, so I got involved in the cannabis industry. It's been 5 years now, but I'm from North Carolina, so I got involved on the data side of things. Figured what better way to learn about the industry than work for a company that does data on it. So that's what I did, and then I moved to Nevada specifically to get more involved in the legal cannabis industry. And like I joked earlier, I call it my realistic California dream. It checked a lot of the boxes, but I wanted to live in a legal market, and Nevada is just a unique state, like its economy, and just so I packed up myself and my dog, moved here, then found the Chamber of Cannabis through like industry connections. Like, hey, I want to actually get involved in like making some grassroots change. Like, I feel guilty being involved in this industry that has so many problems and like not trying to fix them. And so I found the Chamber of Cannabis from somebody's recommendation and joined as an individual, and then joined the board the same time as Dina in 2022. And Rocky was also one of the board members. How many years were you?
I actually was a member of the chamber since day one.
Yeah.
And I was on the board for 1 year.
Okay.
Which I loved. It was amazing.
Yeah. And you were an amazing board member.
Absolutely.
And I'm insane. And so the board, it was all volunteers. And so, you know, everybody had their own full-time job. We did have staff, but, well, the executive director is our only staff, so I am that. But I was the secretary for the board, which is the officer role. And then have also really dove into the regulations with the CCB because I'm, again, started in data side. I'm a giant dork. So, but I do have a background in other sides of like CPG and logistics, supply chain, product management. So,
so basically you're the necessary evil.
Absolutely.
I know that there's like a bad connotation with jack of all trades or Jane of all trades, but I think I do it masterfully, or we'll see. But that's me, I guess.
No, it's you're necessary. I love it. Listen, people lie. Data does not lie.
That's
so
correct.
You know, that's the reason why you're so essential. What about you, Dee?
I'd have to say I'm probably the necessary evil as well. I come from accounting and finance, so I've been in accounting for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I worked in business management and entertainment, specifically adult entertainment industry. Before I semi-retired to Las Vegas, when I came out here, I went into event planning of all things, and then COVID hit. So
yes.
After that ended, I found cannabis, both personally and professionally, and that's how I got in. And much like Abby, from my past industries, I've always kind of given back by serving on boards or participating in some type of nonprofit. So I found the chamber. I was seeking a way as well to get involved and make some change. And I joined the board, and then I was treasurer for a year and a half, and recently just appointed president.
Nice.
So. Right, so you've done almost every in all faction. Yeah. You guys just must see change all the time, because this industry that we're in just changes so rapidly. In the last year, what are the major changes that you've seen in the cannabis industry?
Yeah, I mean, consistent change. Well, it's not necessary. Change is not always good. Some of the changes with our organization are very positive, but I want to say, I mean, God, we've rolled out all of the legislative changes from the last legislative session. So, like, the daily. That was just this January, where the daily more than doubling of the daily purchase limits that happened this year. That's a good change,
right?
And the CCB. I mean, now thanks to the legislative session, the CCB is under the Administrative Procedures Act, and I'm just talking about Nevada.
Right.
We have a whole other ballgame at the federal level with descheduling, but this year the CCB has had to host a ton of workshops as part of the new process that they're under with the administrative procedure. So we've gotten a lot of positive reception from those meetings with the regulators. So it hasn't happened yet, the change, but like soon dispensaries will be able to sell prepackaged food and drink once the legislative commission approves all this. But delivery vehicle limits will be two and a half times increased to match the purchase limit. So just a ton of that was all just done. That's without any regular legislative change. Our legislator only meets every other year, but that doesn't mean that change has to wait till then.
I don't think people I hope people realize how big of a role that the chamber played in getting that purchase limit increased.
Yeah,
You guys played a crucial part in that. Can you talk about?
Thank you. Talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
It was our initiative during the last legislative session. Fronted by Senator Dallas Harris,
who is running for re-election. Yes. Senator district. Dallas Harris. She was the
district.
I canvass for her.
I know. I don't know her district. I wish
you'll
did,
know. You'll
yes,
know.
Yeah. Senator Dallas Harris. She did a fantastic job. And yes, we helped get that legislation passed. We funded the lobbying.
That
helped do that.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
So basically, the legislature gets bill draft requests. They submit those each year, and then those eventually turn to the Senate bill or Assembly bill. And every step along the way, there's a lot of places to take out certain initiatives. They can be combined. SB 277 was an omnibus cannabis bill, so it wasn't just. We had two initiatives in there. It was the purchase limit and then also the allowing ex-offenders, creating a pathway for them to work in the industry. And at any point in time, like with all of them, if somebody didn't like one thing, like, you know, it all could be dead.
Yes.
So our biggest expense has been on
lobbying.
We're successful in that. Right. But now we want to, you know, take some time to really listen to what our members want us to focus on next. Right.
So what you're saying basically is like making these bills and these laws pass is not free.
No, and that is the power of collective action is what a chamber does. One of the things that a chamber does,
yes.
But yes, it's the power of collective action and something that maybe small businesses or individuals themselves who could not afford to hire a lobbying firm and do this on their own. And when we pull together and but our dues come in, that's what we're able to fund is that kind of change for the industry.
Right. And I like to give a really big focus on small business because I think it's very important, especially in the cannabis industry, because those tend to come in and then they die.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very sad process. So I think it's really important to have something like a chamber because guess what? by legal standards, you can't just have a regular chamber of cannabis as
right.
far as like, you know, do it. But here's the thing. The importance of that is that people get involved, right? Because mm-hmm. that in order for these laws to pass, we need help. It's not something, it's not just, you know, one person going in, and it's definitely not the lawmaker saying, hey, we're going to do this on our own. You know what I mean? People, I think, but here's the thing, and when we laugh about it, but I think a lot of people need to understand how that works, because when you open up a business, you need to get involved with other people that work in the same industry so that you guys can have a unified action somehow. And kind of like, because here's the thing, without it being federally legal, that's what you have. You have each other,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're the pinning and the playing is against each other. It's not a situation where you can just kind of look past it. Everybody needs a little bit of help, especially if you're opening up a cannabis business. And we're in this kind of climate right now, economically, where cannabis is seeing like a really crazy downturn. Mm-hmm. So, and I know you guys can probably speak about that, but I know that a lot of the things, there's many factors that go into that.
Oh yeah.
Can you guys speak on a little bit of those factors?
Oh yeah. I mean, the factors that cause the sales to go down are the factors that cause these small businesses to continue to be unable to thrive, or kind of all of it.
Yeah,
it's all
grand gamut.
It's all a lot. And I think so due to the federal illegality, that prevents businesses from accessing traditional lines of credit from any traditional lending, just because it's too high risk. While there are some options, the rates aren't friendly. It's nothing you would do for your house or anything, if they even let you buy a house, depending on which bank you're working with as a cannabis employee. Though I will say Greater Nevada Credit Union does a good program there. But so that's a factor. Like, I think the lack of access to capital, because then people can't pay their vendors on time. They can't scale. There's no room for innovation. And then also just the high cost of compliance, right? So like there's the licensing, and then you have to deal with – so that's just with the CCB to be able to touch and grow and sell the plant and move it. But you have to also get the location, and that's the big slowdown for the lounges. The amount of money you have to put into maintaining compliance is significant.
Yes.
And then, God forbid, it changes, or it's up for interpretation, or, one of your employees does something like, then there's charges. Fortunately, with the last legislative session, we haven't seen all of these things like roll out or felt them 100% yet, but Senator Wynn's bill did limit the amount, it removed time and effort billing. So the CCB can no longer just charge just for like part of their normal day to day. They can obviously still charge for investigations and stuff. But yeah, I mean, until, and then there's taxation. Sorry, I could go on about this for way too long.
Yeah.
But until the regulators and the lawmakers view cannabis as more like the metric of success of the industry and health is more than just the tax dollars generated.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's continued to be regulated and legislated that way, then even though this touches every sector of the economy, I don't know how it's ever going to change without people pooling their resources together to, if something's wrong, talk about it. Like, find a solution.
Right.
And like, what if you just complain when nothing's going to happen?
Well, I think what people don't realize too is the amount of time, like, so that it takes to actually, like you mentioned about the regulations and then getting the legislation passed to support that regulation. We got these things passed, or we've got these things through, but that doesn't mean that they happen tomorrow just because we got it passed. What we're doing, the work that we're doing, is things that you will see materialize and or the test meet the standard of the test of time from years from now. I probably won't even be with the chamber anymore by the time that these things happen. But, you know, that's cathedral thinking. That's doing things now that we may not personally ever be involved in what the result is of that.
Right.
And when you think about, like, with the medical, like when getting the initial stages of of cannabis legalization in every state, you know, they start with a very strong focus. And most people in most states, I mean, this has started so long ago, but things take time. to change and improve. And you have to take a holistic view and think about the future. And I think that the whole like green rush that people thought cannabis would be too, and the people that got into it with that in mind, yes, maybe didn't have the best intentions, or maybe weren't set up in the right way to be able to build a lasting business. Or if they have, it's just, it's because of those interests, which are, they have the money to do it.
Right. I think COVID set us up really shitty too.
Oh, maybe. God.
Yeah. I think it gave a lot of companies false hope.
False hope.
Right.
There was like, yeah, I think a lot of people look like during those COVID years and like, oh yeah, that's an easy money getter right there. And that's not what it is.
Consumer preferences changed. Yeah. Like they were, that was a big,
the preferences and what they had access to. I mean, you got to consider our choices as a community, as a country, we're limited too on what we can do. But cannabis wasn't limited. Cannabis, we could get our cannabis.
Yeah. So.
What would you guys say are the biggest regulatory challenges that we're facing right now in the industry?
So, great question. So, since I'm on here on behalf of like the chamber as the executive director, I try to avoid my personal opinion, but we are currently soliciting input from our members to identify what those are for our members. Because as a 501c6, by definition in the IRS tax code, our purpose and we exist to represent the business interests of our members. There's a different word than our members, obviously, in the IRS, but that's essentially what we do. So, yeah. I, as a person, might have an answer to that, but as an organization, we represent the collective interests. And so that does require also industry stakeholders that are members sharing those with us. So ask me in a few months. And actually, we'll probably be, when this comes out, we'll probably be, you'll probably have a better sense of what my answer will be. So.
Right. And for our listeners out there that are not too familiar with the inner workings of the cannabis industry, and that's okay, because it's coming to a theater near you. regulations kind of what binds, right? Because we aren't federally regulated. Sometimes these things can be quite a bit of a challenge, and it changes quite a bit. So we face those issues head on, and it costs companies millions. I wish it was like thousands of dollars, but it costs companies millions of dollars a year. For XYZ reason, you know, if they have any kind, if they go against any kind of regulation that happens in Nevada, you're going to pay. And it's a heavy price to pay. It's not, right? You know what I mean? It's just off the top of my head, you're paying a shit ton. Yeah. So that being the case, I think it's one thing that we have to kind of get accustomed to and know that as a smoker, as an actual consumer, and those who are listening that are not in the industry, because we welcome you as listeners. Thank goodness you listen to us. These things just don't happen organically.
No, 100%.
We wish that they did.
Yeah.
But they just do not. And there's a heavy price to pay for the cannabis businesses. So I think that that's really important for us to now segue into the fact of, hey, how do people, when they are coming into the Vegas industry and they're like, hey, I want to open a small cannabis business, you know, what's the steps and how do, and what's the importance of actually joining the chamber of cannabis and what benefits that person?
Yeah, I mean, if they're coming into Vegas to start a cannabis business, I mean, if it's licensed, that's a whole different answer. But the benefits of joining the Chamber of Cannabis, whether you are a licensed brand or a licensee or retailer or cultivator, that's where you're going to get the most value, but also because those are the interests that we're representing in our legislature and with our regulators and but you also will get value if you are a business that services those business because you're able to meet with them and have those networking opportunities as well. So the benefits are really like it's hard to verbalize. But
there are multiple. I mean, a lot of what a chamber does is not just the representing the needs of its business members, but it's also bringing together people within the industry.
Yeah,
networking. Exposure, visibility, events,
and
you know,
I think,
connecting people together.
And I think part of the reason it's hard to like verbalize right now is because so the Chamber of Cannabis has been a chamber in name for a while, and right now with our recent transition task force and rolling that out, We are more clearly defining like what the Chamber of like if you go to the Henderson Chamber of Commerce, if you go to the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce, Sin City Chamber of Commerce, Urban Chamber of Commerce, it functions differently. And obviously the cannabis industry is different, but we are a 501c6 organization, and so we will be moving, so those benefits will be amplified, the ones that our members know and love, and then we will also make them even more specific for ancillary and to provide those opportunities to connect one another, but most of all have a voice in the room and a seat at the table where decisions are being made.
Also coming to a theater near you.
Right. No, I think that that's really important, and we have to have these conversations because I always tell folks, you know, these things, we're in a really crazy industry, and we want people to understand that this wasn't easy. These things that happen and happen organically The things that happen and don't happen organically cost money, takes time. Businesses, when you're coming into Nevada, we want you to thrive. My goodness, I'm saying this as a cannabis person. I want you to thrive when you come here. That being the case, I think it's very much a great idea. And I'm just saying this from my personal perspective, that you join something like a Chamber of Cannabis so you know exactly what's going on here. Because guess what? Coming and not knowing what regulations look like here, you know, not sitting in on a CCB meeting, because I'm going to tell you, I highly recommend that for anybody who is going to open up a business here in Vegas, that you actually, a cannabis business, that you actually sit in on a CCB meeting and listen to what different changes and obstacles you're probably going to end up facing.
Yeah.
And I think it's that's probably, speaking of organic, that's the most organic way to find out more about what's happening, because you're not... That's not something you could just attend those. You can actually speak. You have a voice. And that's a really big thing. You know what I mean? And we're coming up on a humongous election.
Yeah. Oh,
goodness.
Yeah. Ooh, crazy.
I can't
crazy
wait until election season is over.
Oh, my God. No, but here's the thing. You guys, here we are. And I think that this is really huge.
Soon? I mean, just it's coming up. And, like, so the chamber is a we're nonprofit. We're also nonpartisan, and so we do believe that, like, you know, cannabis legalization, like, that requires statute and law and elected officials. So we don't endorse any party. We don't see red or blue. It's green, but not like I know that there's now a green party, but we're just cannabis friendly.
Yes,
that type of green, and not money. But yes, we've just talked about why not money with green with that. Cannabis green, but we are with the Innovation Lab. That's what we're doing this year to lead up and take us through the election season and into the legislative session. So that's we're starting by collecting member input. That phase ended on September 30th, and then it's focused on connecting with candidates. So by the time this comes out, we have our voter guide. So that'll be highlighting cannabis friendly candidates in the Nevada elections based on a questionnaire we're sending out. And then once we know what our members want and who is in charge to potentially make those changes happen, then we'll start providing our members and the community with updates along the way about like what bill draft requests are out there, what our official positions are on what our members want, and how we can help move those legislative initiatives forward together. And a lot of that starts with education, but also getting involved. And we make it easy. Like, it's not fun to read bills, but I love it. I love it.
She'll break it down for you. Let me tell you.
Give me an NCCR. Yeah. I,
yes.
That's how I go to bed at night. No.
It's easy reading.
Don't say that.
I know.
Yeah, that's and that's one of the benefits that we couldn't verbalize is also the resources, the availability of the resources to understand what those regulations are. I rely heavily on Abby to read them for me.
It's just easy reading. Just.
I mean, but I think that's one of the benefits of joining the chamber, as like, because if you're new, you don't know what's what.
Right.
So like, it's a benefit to join the chamber so you can have that resource. I don't want to say like it's necessary, but it's almost like necessary. Like you have to, because like like especially if you're a new company or if you're new to Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, and things change so much.
Right.
And it's one of the most like regulated industries when it comes to cannabis. So you have to have like that resource behind you.
And there will always be a need for something like that. I mean, there's industries that have been around forever that have associations that represent them that speak to their needs. And it'll be a long while, unfortunately, before we are in a state where we're not heavily regulated.
And I think one thing, too, with the chamber, when you're mentioning, like, new and not knowing, I think one thing that makes the chamber different than some other, like, associations out there that are structured, that have always been structured in this particular way, is that, you know, we include employees. We have all sectors of the industry and ancillary. So if your business, if your employer, if you're a business in there, your employees also can then learn. So there's a primary account, but then you also can allow your team to have access to those resources and tap into that network and message with one another and find your next, you know, business partner or your next customer. But that entire team has access to those right resources. It's not just the one decision maker. And so that is another kind of nice thing. So that it's not just the, it allows people to get to that place, to be in charge, you know?
I mean, not only that, but, you know, we are still advocates for the plant. So Absolutely. Advocacy is very, very important to the chamber. And I think that that's another really great thing, too, for you folks, that you do have great 100% advocacy initiatives. And so if you're in Vegas, too, and you're like, hey, what do I do to make my mark? Or, hey, how do I help? How do I even get involved? It's easier than you think. Reaching out to the chamber is one of those ways, and you can do it as an – I'm sure they're still individual, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
So
absolutely.
you could come in as an individual. And if you're still thinking, like, along the lines of opening a business, which is always really good to do, as we had spoken, premeditative movement, and kind of find out what's going on before you, you know, lay your chips down in Vegas, right, mm-hmm. and open up your business. So I think there's so many benefits. I'm going to tell you that you can learn a lot. And I think that that's really what's important, is that when you come into this industry, you're not blindsided. So many people are. And they come in and then they spend millions, and it's a big loss.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for those companies, but let's be smart as individuals, right? And you're coming into this industry, do your homework, because guess what? In New York, there's something. And, you know, in Michigan, there's something. There's going to be something for everybody to really kind of find out what's going on as far as lawmaking in your state. And so what we have here in Vegas is one of the best things possible, which is a chamber, and we're super glad to have it.
100%. Sure. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. We appreciate you guys hopping on. But before we let you go, we have to know, well, first, what's your favorite way to consume?
You want to take this one first?
Go for it, Abby.
Okay. So, sorry. I feel like I've been...
No, I let you go first.
So much to share. This will be fast. I don't drink alcohol anymore, so I really enjoy the infused beverage category, nice. Actually.
Cannabis cocktail?
Yeah, okay. I do. They're struggling in this market and the hemp-derived stuff, but I enjoy the cannabis-infused. If I do consume flour, I love, like, the mini pre-rolls. Like, I know GLP has, like, the small ones. And then there's, like, the marijuana, like, all of those. Like, I like the freshness of a something rolled. But I also am a lightweight, so I like this. I like the portion size.
No, you're fine. D.
Well, I'm not really a smoker of flour, but I do like to dab.
Okay.
And I just came by way of a new Dr. Dabber, thanks to a very good friend of mine.
Nice.
And so that is one of my ways to recreationally consume. Medicinally, I take a gummy every night to go to sleep, and I also recreationally, I like the beverages as well. I actually prefer them to. I haven't quit drinking, but I've never been a big drinker, so I prefer them to alcohol, though. I don't know why anybody gets drunk anymore, because the cannabis cocktails are so fun.
Yes.
So game night, cannabis cocktails, great time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. What you been smoking on, Rocky?
Believe it or not, Serene has a strain called Day Tripper, I guess it's called.
Day Stripper, right?
Day Stripper. I like it.
I love it. It gives a really nice, happy, go lucky, get up and go type feel.
Is that one for, like, terpenylene?
This one actually had a lot of limonene.
Oh, nice.
This go round. Oh, nice. So, like yeah, that. It kept me busy. I cleaned the house.
There we go.
I cleaned the house a little.
So. Nice.
My favorite way to consume, obviously, you know, is rolling joints. It's what I do. It's
you're expert joint roller, if I have to say.
Thank you, sir. You're an expert at blunt rolling.
I do roll a good blunt. Yeah. Yes, that's what I grew up on. Yes.
What you been smoking on, man?
To go back to the good stuff, I got some garlic cookies from Nature's Chemistry.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's always good.
Yeah, shout you can never
remember.
Never go wrong with anything they come out with.
Yeah, shout out to Avery again and family at Nature's Chemistry doing big things.
Yes.
And, you know, for sure. Folks, we are so happy that you were able to come on today and share your story about the chamber. If people are interested and they want to learn more, what's the best way to do that?
I'll let you take that too.
The website is cofclv.org because we're Chamber of Cannabis, so cofclv.org, and then at Chamber of Cannabis on all social channels.
All right, Tosh, you know you got to fill that out too in the description of this podcast.
I think he knows where that's located.
I already know. Mary,
do you know how to find that? Okay, I'll help you later.
You know, that's great. So if you guys, believe me, anywhere from businesses to individual, you can sign up and join the Chamber. So please check them out. They're also on Instagram and social media. It is Chamber of Cannabis on Instagram, correct?
Real good people.
Excellent. So check them out, especially if you're interested in opening a small business or if you want to learn more about what's going on in the cannabis industry. They're the folks that can really guide you. They're a great industry. So I just want to say thank you, folks, for listening. Don't forget that we are on social media at High Budtenders on all things. We also are at www.highbudtenders.com. You can /podcast to listen to us speak about the wonderful industry of cannabis, or you can go to our shop and check out all the really great new stuff that we have. Oh my gosh, we have gym shoes now and sweatshirts and all kinds of real fun stuff. So I'm super excited. Special shout out to my guy Tosh.
Shout out to Tosh for doing
all the things. Yes. I have to say that. So it's a wonderful thing.
One of the best in the business.
Yeah, for sure.
Connects concepts.
And we have to thank our listeners, as always, because you guys are the backbone of what it is that we do, and you're our consumers. So you help us stay in business. We thank you, folks, for listening to the podcast. And as always, stay high, but tender. I do this shit for Vegas. About to shut the world down. World domination. World ain't ready for the town we are in.